Our Old Testament lesson this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 21 through 31, which is found on page 620 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by the number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might. And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our New Testament reading will come from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will read from verses 23 through 26, and it is found on page 998 and 99 of your pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord. Well, today is a Super Bowl Sunday, and this is a special Super Bowl because our own Eagles will be playing in the Super Bowl today, and so all of us, I think, are perhaps anxious and hopeful that the Eagles will prevail. Some of you may think that I chose the Old Testament lection this morning because of that reference to eagles flying on the wings of eagles. I did not. That was actually a part of our Old Testament lectionary reading for this morning. But it does mention the eagle, so maybe that's a good omen. Maybe we can look forward to great things happening. I know at least one person that often reads the Bible before every big game. He goes through the Bible and he looks for passages that will tell him who might win. So maybe this morning he'll be encouraged over that reference to the Eagles, but that's part of his ritual, looking through the Bible before every big game and trying to discern from the pages of the Bible who might win. That's maybe carrying it a little too far, but some people have those kinds of rituals. Speaking of rituals, I was I was reading somewhere that 27% of Americans have some sort of Super Bowl ritual that they undergo each year. You know, something associated with the Super Bowl. Maybe it's getting together with friends and family members to watch the Super Bowl each year. Or maybe it's going to the same place to watch the Super Bowl. I know one person who has to sit in the same section of his couch every Super Bowl season to watch the Super Bowl. Some people, you know, they wear the same jersey or the same outfit. Some even wear the same set of underwear. You can believe that. But, you know, there's Super Bowl rituals that people go through. I heard that the Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, has a ritual. He says that before every big game, every Super Bowl game, he has to make sure that he speaks or chats briefly with the historic quarterback Tom Brady in the locker room before the big game, and that's just part of the ritual that he undergoes. Maybe some of you, too, have a Super Bowl ritual, something that you do before the Super Bowl. Maybe it's meeting or watching the game with family members or friends. And rituals, of course, are the things, those repetitive actions that we do. Sometimes they're passed down to us. But they are things that help hold us together, things that bind us together. And the Super Bowl itself has become a ritual, probably the last great American ritual. Each year, millions of people tune in to watch the game. Even people like me who don't really follow football feel compelled during the Super Bowl season to watch the game, because that's what everybody else is watching and what everyone else is talking about. But it's a ritual, one of the last perhaps mass rituals that we as Americans do together. We watch the Super Bowl. Our rituals, of course, not only reflect our values, but they also help to shape and form our values. And that's what I find most fascinating and interesting about the Super Bowl, is that it's a game that says a great deal about who we are. If someone was to come from another country and was to watch one of our Super Bowl games, they would be able to discern a great deal about us Americans, about what we value. They would learn that we put a great deal of emphasis and value on things like teamwork and discipline, hard work, because all of that will be on display during the big game. They would learn that we Americans have a penchant for celebrity. I don't know who the halftime entertainment is, but I gathered it would be someone who is a big name, someone who will cause people to be glued to their sets, because that's a big value of us Americans. We value celebrity. They will learn that we Americans not only see ourselves as citizens, but we also see ourselves as consumers. There will be many commercials during the Super Bowl season, people trying to sell us things, and probably more people will tune in for the commercials as they do for the game itself. Oftentimes people can't remember who won the game, but they can remember what their favorite commercial is. So those are some of the values that will be on display during the Super Bowl. And of course there are other values too, directly relating to the game, values of strength, of dominance, of power, and of course winning. We Americans value winning. Someone will leave the field as a winner and someone will leave as a loser, and we won't pay a whole lot of attention to the losers, but we will remember the winners, because we Americans are into winning. It's a big part of our values. We don't think a whole lot about losers, but we are into winning. We want to win. That's a big value for many of us. But one of the things that we might ask ourselves as we sit down this evening to watch the big game and participate in this American ritual is, to what extent are the values of the Super Bowl, the values that will be on display during the Super Bowl, to what extent are they compatible with our identity as God's people, with our identity as Christians, as the people of God? I don't mean to sound like some kind of scold or crank this morning on this Super Bowl Sunday. We preachers are often accused of that, sometimes with some justification. We're accused of being spoiled sports, looking for people who are having fun and seeking to put a damper on it. I realize the Super Bowl, after all, is just a game, and I hope that we will all have fun and enjoy it. But I do want us to be suspicious of the values that are being lifted up, or that will be lifted up during the big game. Our values and world views are constantly being shaped and influenced by all kinds of things, especially by the big cultural events like Super Bowls. And you see, the Super Bowl, like most sporting events, is telling a story. It is telling a story as old as the world itself, a story where we are told that violence and dominance and strength and force and winning is everything. That's part of the story that is being told or will be told during the Super Bowl game. It's a story that's reinforced again and again, over and over again, by various things in our culture. When we go to the movies, that's one of the main stories that we take away, that winning and force and strength and dominance is the way of the world. That's the way you win. And sometimes we imbibe that story inadvertently when we go to sporting events. And we will imbibe those values again when we watch the Super Bowl this evening, that winning and dominance and force, that they are everything. Part of the job of the pastor, if that title is to mean anything at all, is not only to help us negotiate the spiritual minefields of our culture, but also to help make sure that we are rooted and grounded in our story as God's people, in God's story, the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, that's not always easy for the pastor to do, because the world has you, 24/7. The pastor has you early on a Sunday morning with, 15, 20 minutes. He has to drill through all kinds of cultural accretions and understandings. But it's not easy to be able to keep you grounded in our story, the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fortunately for us, though, we have our own rituals, time-honored practices handed down to us that not only help to hold us together, but to help shape and form who we are as the people of God. And one of those rituals is just showing up here on Sunday mornings. Every time we come here in this place, every Sunday, we are telling a story. It is the story of new creation. That's who we are. We are new creation people. And we come here, we are telling a story, and we are taking into ourselves the values of that story of new creation. We gather here and we hear words of praise, and we enter into words of praise, starting out praising the Lord, praising God, recognizing that the world is held together by a loving and caring God, that our lives are held together by a loving and caring God. We hear the truth about ourselves, that we are a sinful people, a broken people, but we also hear that we are forgiven. And when we hear those words, that we are forgiven, we also offer up ourselves to God, offer up our lives, not only our tithes and our offerings and our resources and our talents, but we offer up our very lives to the Lord. And then we listen. We listen for God's word. Listen for God's word to us. Listen to that story about how God redeems and rescues the world. And then we are sent back out into the world. We are sent back out into the world not to be changed by the world or the world's values, but we are sent out into the world to change the world. That's what it means to be new creation people. It means that we are people that live by a whole different set of values than the values that move much of our world. So coming here is one of the rituals and important rituals that help us to keep grounded and rooted in our story. But sometimes just coming here is not enough. Sometimes coming to church is not enough. Sometimes we can bring the values of the world into the church, and we do that. Sometimes we think that God's job is to help us to be dominant, that God's job is to help us to be powerful, that God's job is to help us to be rich and successful, that God's job is to help us to win. And so it's easy for us to bring the values of the world even into the church, into the sanctuary. But fortunately, we have other rituals as well. And that's the ritual that the Apostle Paul is sharing with us in our New Testament lesson this morning. It is the ritual that we ascribe to whenever we come around the Lord's table. You see, Paul in the church at Corinth had the same problem that many of us have. There were people there who were bringing the values of the world into the church, and they were creating situations within the church where there were winners and losers. Some of the people who were able to get there early, to be able to get the church early and avail themselves early of the meal, they would get there and they would eat and they would drink up everything that was there. So by the time those who had to work got there, there wasn't anything left. And Paul says, I don't know what you think you're doing. I don't know what kind of ritual you think you are observing, but it's not the Lord's Supper. It's not the supper that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us. And so Paul says, I'm passing on to you what was also passed on to me, the tradition, the ritual that was passed on to me, that at the time of the Lord's betrayal, he took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he gave it away. He distributed it. He took it and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it away. Are you beginning to discern the story? It's the story of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus' death, but his whole life. Jesus was chosen. He was blessed. He was broken for all of us. And he was given away for the sake of the world. And that's our story, too. It's not just Jesus' story, but it's also our story. And that story is not a power story. It's not a story about dominating someone else. It's not a story about superior force. It's not a story about celebrity. It's not a story about wealth. It's not a story about winning in the way that the world understands winning. It's not a Super Bowl story, but it's a love story. It's a story of self-giving love, a story of giving oneself for the sake of those people's betterment. It's the story of the way God has treated the whole world, the story of self-giving love. And it's our story too, because now we are the people who are called. We are the people who are chosen. We are the people who are blessed. We are the people who recognize that we are broken. But we are also the people who are called to be given away for the sake of the world. So I'm glad that you are here this morning. I'm glad that you are here on this Super Bowl Sunday. I'm glad that you decided to come to this place on this Communion Sunday to be reminded once again who we are, that we are God's people, that we are people of the new creation, that we are people who are called not to dominate, but to love. And when we do that, we're following the story of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.